Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host. He is the number one Disney dude, Ryan.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of How to Spend Some Dinero.
Some dinero. We're going to spend it all today. John's going to spend so much he's got a green dinero behind him.
This is a cool concept. I think there's been variations floating out there. We've done some kind of variations, but I'm going to let Ryan explain it while I have a cocktail.
Yeah, nice. I'll pop an edible. All right. So anyway, so we've got the concept of today's show is ultimately to talk about something that's near and dear to me as a travel agent, but also to have some fun with it. Okay. A lot of times clients will reach out and they'll be like, oh, I don't know if I can afford Disney because it's going to cost me $10,000. Right. So that's a magic number, is $10,000. For whatever reason, everybody thinks every time you go to Disney, it's going to cost you 10 grand. And the fact of the matter is, it's not true. Right. It's just not true. You're not going to have to spend 10 grand. However, I wanted to have some fun with it and said, okay, guys, you've each got a bank of $10,000. What do you do with it at Disney? You know, how do you spend $10,000 at Disney? And my hope is to have a little fun doing this, but also to entertain people and also to educate people to say, oh, I can do a lot with 10 grand, right? Like it's not just like your normal average stay is 10 grand. This is like going above and beyond your stay. So that's the overall concept, is everybody's got a $10,000 bank and we're trying to figure out what you're going to do with it, how you're going to spend it, and how.
Cool.
Yeah, sweet.
So
money.
In order for us to really understand it, why don't you kind of kick off the conversation on however you want to frame it and however we're going to go after this. And then John and I will have something to mimic and cheat off of.
Sure. So basically I'll go first. All right. All right. Thanks. Way to put that back on me. You notice in the intro to the show that I'm the Jungle Cruise skipper. I'm going to guide you through this show. All the way till Ryan takes over the ship. Wonderful. All right. So let me give you an idea of what I'm looking at here. And we can bounce around and we can each throw a couple ideas if we want, you know, depending on time limitations and stuff. But for me, how would I spend $10,000 at Disney? Now, when I travel to Disney, I'm either traveling with you goofballs, which I can do a lot more with $10,000 with. Or I'm traveling with my family, right? So I'm going to kind of take this as a family perspective of how is my family and I going to spend $10,000. So this is going to be your average family of four, two adults, two kids under 10. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. The first and most important thing we're always going to do is we're going to choose where do we stay, right? And for me, usually where do you stay depends on what do you want to do. Right. So do you want to have convenience? Do you want to have quiet time? Do you want to have something special for your room type? Whatever the case may be. Typically when I go, I don't care about any of that stuff. Right. Because I know Disney pretty well. I'll bounce around the parks however I see fit. I don't need to rope drop anymore. And my kids are old enough that I don't have to worry about a ton of stroller usage and all that kind of stuff. So that's the first thing. So for me, I'm probably going to look at a moderate resort. Moderate resort in this case. Let me actually step this back. The first thing is when are we going to travel? I'm going to travel in September. Okay, September is one of my favorite times of year. to go in Disney. Parks are typically less crowded in September. The weather is usually warm. However, there is a risk of hurricane season. So that's a calculated risk that I'm taking. But the weather is typically warm, the crowds are usually low, and then you also have lower price points of the year because you're talking in the fall. Kids are just going back to school, so there's less families taking them out of school, and that kind of stuff. So you get lower prices. You usually find some good deals too, but I'm not including deals. Okay. I'm not going to give away the farm as a travel agent here, but
All
that's.
right, so let's start right there. You brought two things into play: the time of year to go, right? And the property. So let's all start there and go around. So, John, what do you say about in order to get the most bang for your buck on $10,000? What time of year and what property are you going to? And
So,
don't say ask for 2 months. So
so I'm just like Ryan. I'm a big fan of going in September. I am going usually around the end of September, early October, when I go and do a trip with the family. That's kind of historically when we go, and I've seen decent pricing. The weather's good. Again, like Ryan mentioned, you are in that risk of the hurricane, but it's Florida. It's in the fall, late summer, early fall. That's just what it is in Florida, unfortunately. I mean, there's always that risk. I think every time that I end up going down to Disney with the family, I'm always seeing the risk of a hurricane possibly hitting a week to a week and a half out and panicking and looking at the logistics to try to, well, does it make sense? If it's going to hit, do we go early? Do we move a day? Blah, 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 all that. But overall, pricing is good for that. And again, I'm looking at a family of four as well. I found a decent pricing staying at Pauly. And again, I'm doing this based on the fact that Pauly is one of those resorts that my wife and I dream to stay at with the family. So that's kind of where I'm kind of using this premise as well. So that's kind of where I am going at and kind of basing on what I know my family wants
How long
too.
are you going for, John?
A week, a
For a
Sunday
week.
to Sunday.
Sunday to Sunday. Going for a week. I didn't state it, so I'll state it here. I'm going Tuesday to Tuesday, also for a week. Tuesday to Tuesday is very specific for me because I can typically find better airfare on Tuesdays.
Okay. All right. So keeping with those themes of when and where. So I'm going to go a little different. So I am going in May. I have found that going in the early or middle part of May, most of the schools are still in session and they're getting ready to come out. And whether it's a college or, you know, undergrad, they're still in school. Right. And so there's things going on getting ready to that May and June release that they're busy, right? They're involved in spring sports and everything. So it's a great time, I think, to go as an adult. And there are some price packages in and around May that is going. I'm going from May 12th to May 17th. So that is that's that 5 day period, okay? And I'm looking at a couple of things, and I based it on two people, and looking at a few options. There's really some deluxe packages that we can get. We'll get into that later, that play into that. And I'm looking at, you know, three different deluxe resorts to kind of come up, and based on this exercise, I might end up at one of these three. So I'm in May. I'm not worried about hurricanes. I find that's good too when you live up north. If you go in May and then you do this vacation where it's warm in Florida, then you come back and it's finally green and warm around Memorial Day here, then you have the whole summer to look forward to, which is finally decent weather here. It sort of extends that summer feel for us. So,
It's
and
funny.
September is just gorgeous in New England anyway, so I don't want to get away from it.
It's funny because I kind of look at the same logic, but from the other direction, right? Is that as soon as you start to get to early to mid-September, I know that the cold is just around the corner. So I just want to go get some heat, you know, before that.
Right.
You know, so it's very similar to your logic. And I like the May time frame too. I think May is probably my second favorite time frame, all the way up through middle June, right? All the way up till Father's Day. I kind of like that time frame too. And I think, again, good price points, lower crowds, also. So
okay, so you guys are going for a week. I'm only going for 5 days.
Yeah, and I already know where you're going with this, and I love it.
Your idea is such a you idea, Carl. I will say though, I'm surprised that neither of one of you guys picked like the middle of winter to kind of get away from the cold. Again, all of us being in that colder climate, I mean, I hate to say, I kind of look forward to now usually our agency retreats and everything are usually that mid winter, so it's kind of that nice getaway, and it's kind of become the staple of late February, March, let's get away for a couple days out of the cold of New England or Chicago and go to the nice sun of Florida. It's kind of become a staple. I'm really surprised that you guys didn't pick that, because some of the pricing's not bad that time of year either. So
sure. I mean, traditionally the end of January and early to middle September are going to be your best price points, right? But when you start looking at February, you have to be really careful, because there are fall breaks, there are winter breaks, there are there are winter breaks, there is Mardi Gras breaks, there is dance competitions and cheerleading competitions and all sorts of stuff that go on, Run Disney events.
Run Disney, yeah.
Not careful. All of a sudden you're like, oh, it's middle of February, nobody should care about this. And then all of a sudden it's like, why is there a 4-hour line for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, right? Like, right. You got to be really careful with that kind of stuff. Besides, I don't want to go to Florida and be in 60 degree weather. I just don't. That's not why I go to Florida. I can stay in Chicago for 60 degree weather. It's, the time of year that we're recording right now, it's an unseasonably warm 60 degree day today. Right. So I'm happy with that, but I want 80s minimum when I go to Florida. And the only way I'm getting that is May through early October, mid October. So that's kind of my logic, John. I also, cause July and August can be very inexpensive and low crowd times too, but you're also going to like swim through the frickin' moisture in the air to get from point A to point B, breathe it in. So that's me. So, okay. So to kind of recap where we're at so far, John and I are both going for 7 days. Carl's going for 5 nights, 6 days, it sounds like, or 5 days, I should say, 5 days for Carl. So John's staying at the Poly, very, very structured. I'm at the Poly. I've got 10 grand. I'm going to the Poly, right? And I'm in the moderate range depending on where, and Carl's in a deluxe range depending on where. So that's where we stand currently. Okay, so the next selection I think we really have to talk about is tickets, right, as we build out this package. Time of year, nobody wanted to talk about the Food and Wine Festival in this group, because that's a reason to go in September instead of May. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's a great reason to go that time of year. It's wonderful. I just, we've done shows on this. It's a year-round festival at Epcot now.
That's true. That's true.
It doesn't matter.
I'm drunk at any time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. When it's with family, it's a totally different vibe than if it's with you guys. Let's say, it's more reserved in comparison. My wife's not really a foodie, and again, two young kids, so it's kind of difficult. You try to do it yourself a little bit. It's not the same thing when you're with a full group. So, Food and Wine's nice, but again, there's always some type of festival going on. So you're going to get the booths no matter when you go.
All right. So we'll move on to tickets at this point. So I'm looking at, if I'm going to be there for 7 days, I'm going to look at 5 days of tickets. So this is going to give me a little downtime in the middle of my trip, or have a couple days off to on top of my travel days. But 5 days of tickets gives me enough time to bounce around each park. And then also do Magic Kingdom maybe twice again, with a I keep calling her five. She's six now. And my son's eight. So my 6 and an 8 year old, they're growing up too fast. 6 and an 8 year old. That's going to be ideal, right? 2 days in Magic Kingdom and a day everywhere else. So, taking that into account, that's my package is 5 days of tickets. So what are you guys thinking tickets wise?
So this one was challenging again. I went for the more practical use with mine. I originally did 5 days and it knocked me over the budget. So I'm sticking with 4 days, but at the same point, putting that into consideration with everything else, again, with the younger family that I have and everything, 4 days with the hopper makes sense. Because again, every time I go down with my wife, in the last trip a couple months ago, kind of even proved this too, not having the hopper just not work for my family. So having the hopper makes perfect sense. And we start an initial plan. Again, myself being a planner, we know so much, we can usually get through what we want to accomplish fairly quickly. So we kind of have that extra bit of time to do what we want to do. So 4 days for us with a hopper tends to work really well. And then those other couple of days, we can relax, we can do whatever we want. If we want to do something out of the ordinary, maybe something random, a different park or different something else that's non-Disney, that gives us that ability as well to do that. So there's kind of that buffer for who knows built into that by doing that.
All right. So again, I've got a little bit more flexibility because I'm going with two people instead of four. So, and I'm going for, you know, 5 nights, and that leaves you, you know, the travel days. But I've elected the 5 day ticket with park hopper. I know you guys didn't mention the hopper component. I'm throwing the hopper in, thinking that with two people, we can jump around a little bit more. We can do things like if we wanted to go to Epcot every night for dinner, we could. So those are the things that I'm looking at to throw that in. I'm going with the 5 day ticket with park hopper option.
Carl, that's what I love about your trip, right? There's just like, I'm going to do the 5 day park hopper. If we spend a whole day at the parks, great. If we want to chill and leave a half day, that's totally fine too. It's two very distinct ways to do Disney. And I have found that is there are Disney people that go every year, and there are people like me who always build in that day off, right? And then there are people like you that's just like, nope, we got park tickets for every day we're there, and how much we use them is totally up to us while we're there, right? And I think either way is right. You know, it just depends on the family or the need, but yeah, I love it. Okay, so 5 days for me, 5 days for Carl and John, you had 4 days?
Yes, 4 days, yeah, with the hopper.
Okay, so what are we looking at so far, right? We've built out, I guess one more component before we talk about where we are price-wise right now, okay? My last component that I'm adding pre-travel is I'm adding the Disney dining plan.
Which one, Ryan?
I am adding the Disney dining plan, dining plan, right? I'm adding the plan that gets me one quick service, one sit down, and one snack per person per night. For me, we love doing character dining in my family, and almost all of the character dinings outside of maybe a couple of the princess character dinings are all covered by the Disney dining plan. So it makes financial sense for us. We save money doing that. And it's fun for our whole family, kids, wife, myself, we all love it. So that makes sense to me. Plus, my daughter doesn't use all the snacks. So fat boy over here gets to steal her snacks every once in a while if I need to. So we're doing that. But that adds a price component up front that we can also figure into our costs, so we know what we're getting ourselves into when we go down there. So anybody else adding the Disney dining plan or a variation of it?
I am adding the Disney dining plan as well. Kind of for the same-ish purposes you mentioned before. I mean, we've discovered that character meals work really well for our family, especially I have younger children here. And come on now, who doesn't love meeting the Fab Five when you're under four and five? So let's be honest,
the Fab Five when you're 42. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you're just a different person in general, anyways. But
number one Disney dork, apparently. Thanks a lot, John.
It's fine, Ryan. You're amongst safe people here.
I don't know about that, but I'll take it.
I too am adding the Disney dining plan. I think I'm probably going to use it a little bit different in the scheme, but I'm certainly going to get the value out of it. I'm looking at, you know, with the money associated with it, probably doubling up and doing some signature dining with it, and then using all the snacks to go around to whatever festivals in season and using those snacks for festival foods wherever I can and permitted.
Yeah. So
that's kind of how I'm rolling on that. I probably, if I admit it, probably won't end up using all the quick service options on it. And probably will end up paying a little bit more above the package to go on additional sit down dining. But again, having that flexibility to play with that when I'm there, I think I'm still going to get some value out of it, knowing where to go and what to go, what to order, you know, how to maximize those snack credits. Not worried about that, but I did it really for the convenience of this exercise, trying to get the numbers down, right? Because there's going to be obviously some numbers left over for miscellaneous. And I envision putting that back into probably back into some dining experiences. But let's starting with the base of the Disney dining plan, I know I'm going to get some value proposition there.
So just to kind of put a cap on before we move to the next, like what other things are we adding as we go through here? The dates that I selected, if you do 7 days with a 5-day park ticket for a family of four with the Disney dining plan, you can stay at any Walt Disney World property just for that for under $10,000. So Grand Floridian, deluxe villas, all the way down. Right now, if you want to do a 2-bedroom suite, that's not going to happen, right? But if you want to stay in a deluxe studio, you can stay anywhere on Disney property for less than $10,000 with everything we've already talked about. So I think that's really, really important for our listeners to understand is like, if you wanted to stop here and not do anything else, be like, I got my food, I got my tickets, I got my resort, you're good.
Yeah, there's money left over for airfare, right?
Right. Your money left over for airfare. There's or if you want to drive down, right? Like, we're not really including airfare here, I don't think, but like, I can drive down from Chicago for $500, you know, so I could easily make that money up if I needed to. So at least at this point for me, I'm ready to reveal, I think, where I'm going to stay in looking all of this. And for now, I'm going to stay at Disney's Port Orleans Resort French Quarter.
Nice.
I love POFQ because it's a small resort. It's easy to get around. And I'm going to have those snack credits, so I'm going to get me some beignets. Right. I love the boat to Disney Springs, and I don't mind the buses to the parks. Some people don't like the buses. Hey, that's cool. I get that. I don't mind them. So that's where I'm going to stay. So right now, my package is costing me $62.50 in terms of what I've laid out so far.
Cool. John?
Yeah, I mean, so with my package, I'm a little more expensive. I'm pretty close right to our budget. I don't think I mentioned the dates I was looking at either before. So I'm looking at the 15th to the 22nd. And again, this is at the Pauly, just a standard review resort view, the 4 days tickets with the park hopper. With Memory Maker, with the dining plan, we're looking at $98.38 all in. Again, I'm trying to be a little more practical with kind of being realistic per se. I mean, let's be honest, if this was really truly my family, I probably would splurge a little bit more over the budget because that always happens. But to stay at the deluxe resort, it's really possible to get under that price. It's really, really possible to get under that $10,000 price. And there's a lot of options that, I mean, I've seen a couple. I did this one again, purely based on this is what we want to do as a family someday down the line. So this really is very doable for anybody that has that kind of a budget.
You know, I love the fact that the guy who wants the biggest bang for his buck, who's known for that in our show, is the guy who tapped out his budget right away. Like, F it, I'm going all in. Right?
I mean, I'll be honest. Disney is one of those things where I set a budget and it's always, always, always broken. No matter what we do, it's always, well, what if we stay an extra day? What if we add an extra park day? What if we change resorts? It's only a couple hundred more. It's kind of one of those things where I talk myself into it a little bit, which I'm sure a lot of us do. You guys get the good portion of hearing it when, especially when it comes to retreats and all that, when you add the extra days on and all that. Yeah, let's add the extra day here, yeah, or do this.
Or should I buy a new GoPro while I'm coming down there?
Yeah, exactly.
A new wardrobe, right? Whatever it might be. All I'm going to say, John, is you should have booked with me. I could have saved you a couple $100.
Clearly, but I want my own commission. I don't want to give you my commission.
So John's pretty much tapped out at this point. Carl, where are you looking at?
Well, again, it's easier for me with two people, but I took three models and, I compared the Disney Yacht Club Resort with a water view to the Copper Creek Villas and Cabins, one bedroom villa at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. But I ultimately am selecting the Savannah View King Bled Club level access at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So Savannah View, King Bed, club level. Now that really adds some tremendous value because grabbing some light breakfast every morning pushes those snack credits and the quick service things into lunches and snacks. So that really throws on another layer. And the price for my package is all in $7,505.
I like where you're at, Carl, leaving yourself some room to do some more fun stuff.
I am, and so I'm looking at, I know we didn't include airfare, but I can spend another $1,500 and go first class round trip tickets on airfare.
Yep.
And still have another grand to have some fun.
Yeah. That's where my mindset is too, right? It's like my family, when we travel, we don't need a lot of space. We spend the majority of the day outside of the room, and my kids thank the heavens my kids fall asleep easy and they don't wake up easy. So I don't have to worry about that with them. So I don't mind sacrificing the room a little bit and the space in the room a little bit. But what I am going to do, what I hate the most in Disney, is I hate standing in lines, right? I just don't like standing in lines in general, and anything that I can do, I will do. So that brings us to the next components for those of us still playing, not John, right? Is that
clearly
the next thing that I want to add is I want to add a VIP tour day. And again, this is where the dates really come in and play, right? Because the VIP tours, much like the resort tours, are priced and based on how popular the parks are, how busy the parks are, and how much they're going to sell them. So if you're going in a low end time frame where you're spending less money, you're also going to get the price per hour of the Disney VIP services on the low end. Now, caveat to throw out there, I am estimating this based on what I know, right? But you can't get pricing on the Disney VIP services this far out, right? So I can't tell you exactly what it'll be, but I do know that it will be on the low end based on the time of year that I'm going, which would be $450 an hour for a 7-hour minimum, which puts us at $3,150 for the VIP services. So if I do the Disney VIP services, that's $6,250 plus $3,150 is $9,400. So I still have $600 to play with, which is right in the zone of what I want in terms of where I want to be. I'm utilizing that VIP service in a way that I would recommend a lot of people do it if they do it. And I am going to, you do not have to have, all you have to have is entry to the parks to use that VIP service. You do not need to have a park hopper to park hop if you have that service. So I am going to have the VIP service take me, and I'm going to hit up all the long lines. They're going to take me in their private service. We're going to go whichever park they think we should start at, because they're the experts on that. I let them handle it. That's beauty of it. I don't have to plan it. They'll do it for me. And I'm going to say, hey, I want to hit up all the individual Lightning Lane rides and all lines with the longest wait times. And we're going to hit up Rise of Resistance and Slinky Dog Dash and Seven Doors Mine Train and Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy and Flight of Passage. And we're going to hit all of those in the first day in a wild, crazy day, so that for the rest of the trip, we never have to stand in a long line. And that's my plan with that.
Cool.
Damn, that's smart.
John, you had a few bucks left over. What were you going to do with yours? What'd you have? Much. 80, you I have 80 bucks left over?
I had about 120. Probably... maybe Genie Plus for a day. Again, my budget's going to get blown out, let's be honest. We've already kind of discovered that. But ideally, that's really what it's going to end up probably getting used for is for Genie. Or random extra snacks with the family. I mean, younger kids doing some of the possibility of the tours and all that, it just wasn't going to make sense. On my end at this point. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to do that stuff. I just don't see it happening. And especially the budget doesn't allow it. So,
so I've got obviously a lot of money left over, and I joked about first class. I mean, I certainly could do that. And you know, I don't think my pace would warrant justifying, you know, certainly a day of a fast pass I could see in Lightning Lane doing that, maybe to make sure you hit some of your favorites. But I am envisioning, you know, with that club level lounge, having some coffee and croissants on the deck of the Savannah View and watching the animals every morning, not rushing to get out the door. And kind of enjoying the resort as well. But I would think, because I'm keeping with that Animal Kingdom theme, I would think that I would do one of the safaris as an extra. You know, maybe up and close with the rhinos. It's only $50 a person to throw that in. And, you know, the Wild Africa Trek is about $250 a person. So maybe $500. So I could see maybe spending another $600 on some special activities like the Wild Africa Trek or the Nighttime Safari or the Rhinos or that sort of thing. That still leaves me, you know, with a couple of grand. And again, round trip airfare if I threw it in. But I was trying to leave probably for the week, trying to leave me with $1,500 for my bar bill.
Yep. I feel like that's smart, but I feel knowing you, that's probably a little low.
No, I think that's probably good for Carl.
5 days? It's like $300 a day in booze?
Yeah. We've estimated on this show before
that's true.
Is $350 to $400 per person, right? Yep. So if drinking around the world doesn't cost you $500 in booze, you're not going to spend $500 in booze.
Right. Right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's having a nice bottle of wine every night at dinner. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I've got $1,500 on top of the 75. That brings me to $9,000. And then, like I said, $500 and some afterwards. I still got $500 in chains to spiff people and make sure cast members are appreciated.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of where I'm at too, right? So right now I'm at, you know, 9,400. We do have a strict family policy that when we go to Disney, everybody gets one souvenir, myself and my wife included. We all get one souvenir, so $50 a crack for, you know, a souvenir, probably on the high end. Kids don't usually spend that much. My kids usually, thankfully, they, you know, get a stuffy or something, it's $35, so they don't usually spend that much. So I'll call it 200, which puts me at 9,600 for the trip, which leaves me 400, right? So I have options with that. I can either go drink around the world by myself while my family just looks at me like an idiot, or like Carl said, I can make sure that I'm tipping nicely and handing out, you know, which is more likely what I'll do. Or I could just kick everybody out and go spend a really crazy night at Oga's Cantina.
Yeah.
But again, a little left over there. So, you know, I think the moral of the story is that, right, is that like $10,000 gets you a lot at Walt Disney World Resort. It gets you a lot, you know, depending on your family, depending on where you're going, you know, especially if you're willing to drive or you live in the area, you know, even if you're not, right? Like if you look at mine, even for a family of four flying from Chicago to Orlando, typically that's a $400 airfare. And I'll tell you, if you spend any more than 500, you're spending too damn much, right? Mm-hmm. Because usually it's 400 or less. So you're talking, you know, $1,600. So even if I didn't do the VIP day, that's still well under the $10,000 number, right? So I think that's the importance of this show is for as much fun as we have putting this together. And I love how different each of our plans are, right? Anybody can afford to do Disney and have money left over at $10,000.
Absolutely. So great idea, great concept, Ryan. Great show. We are just proving that we can adapt to all the needs of our clients, that they have different needs and different wishes. And as we listen to them and find out what they need, we can certainly come up with a wonderful plan and trip. So good show, guys.
Yay, good show, everybody. Yay.
Ah, screw it. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.